have a, you know, like, oh man, this could be a special team. This could be a special year. But listen, there's got, you know, I say that, then I go, okay, well then a lot of things have to happen for you. Like, you got to stay away from the injury bug. Well, we didn't. You know, we've lost some talented guys, some starters, some role guys, you know, specific guys. But for me, it was probably through some of that adversity, you know, early in the year, middle of the season, that we kind of kept things together and we were figuring out how to win a game or two or three, and we kind of got on a little bit of a roll. About that time, you kind of knew that, all right, this is a pretty special team, and you know, sky's the limit with these guys.
When you were here, Brandon Gibson was on the practice squad a little bit in 09, and Deion Lewis was here. Do you have any memories of those guys? Could you see in them what they had become in New England and through their careers?
Well, they were talented players, obviously. They were gifted, and you know, both those guys were, you know, I can vaguely remember because I was here, you know, with both those guys. Brandon was a big, tall, you know, athletic.
Danny Amendola. Did I say Brandon Gibson?
We had Gibson.
Danny Amendola.
Amendola.
Brandon Gibson's not on the Patriots.
I'm
sorry.
We had a Gibson.
Yeah, they were on the practice squad.
Yeah, Amendola. Amendola was a player that, you know, I thought was real special. Core teams guy, going to be a return specialist, could be a slot receiver, had some talent. It was just unfortunate. Obviously, we couldn't keep him. And, you know, obviously, he's been in New England now, and he's had a tremendous career, and he's helped them win some world championships. And, you know, Deion Lewis the same way. And that happens in this game. Listen, you're gonna lose some players. It's just the nature of the game. You know, you're hoping to make the right decisions at the end of training camp or during the season. You know, it does. It's credit to those guys for sticking with it and you know, having good careers.
In terms of prep, is your plan to, like, grind the midnight oil this week and then next week when you get there?
Grind the midnight oil again?
Are you going to work as hard next week?
Yeah, we're still, you know, we got a game to play, and it's not a vacation next week. And you know, my message to the team is just that. I mean, we're gonna prepare this week as if we're playing this weekend, obviously, but and then we can you know, sort of fine tune some things. But we just got to stay on top of our game, keep the grind, keep the intensity going right into next week.
Doug, your other head coaching job with Calvary Baptist Academy. What can you remember about those days and just the journey? Can you appreciate where you've come so far?
Well, it was, you know, obviously it was my first head coaching job when I retired, and those 4 years were special to me because, one, my family and my boys were right there in the school with me, being in private school, and just watching the kids grow over a 4 year period, and then having the chance to see some of them go on to play college football or, you know, have great careers, you know, after college, and not necessarily in athletics, but just as students as well. And you know, had a chance to play in some playoff games and, you know, almost make it to a state championship a couple times down there. And those are special moments, you know, moments that I'll remember. And obviously we're on a much bigger stage now playing for the Super Bowl. But the journey's the same. The ride's the same. It's just as special doing it, obviously, at this level. You still have the same types of relationships with these guys now today that you would with, say, a 16 or 17-year-old in high school.
Did you have the RPO in your playbook back then?
Heck yeah.
You were a backup quarterback.
No, Doug. Sir, Belichick playing against his team. They obviously have a reputation. You know, there's been the late game, you know, all that stuff going down the list. When you're preparing for a team like this, you can't just ignore all that stuff, right? Don't you have to be, you know, just a little more cognizant of what's going on around you? I think this year people wondered if they had something to do with the fog in the game this year. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Now they can control the weather. Well, we're playing in a dome, so there won't be any fog, unless the lights go out again. But listen, I don't really. My mind doesn't go there. You know, my mind is on the Patriots and focused on, you know, scheme and trying to figure out how to beat them. You know, that's the bottom line, and how to get my team prepared to play the final game of the season, and and that's where my mind is right now.
Challenge, Doug, is to put aside playing the mystique of the Patriots. I mean, how do you address that with the Pelicans?
Well, I think that's obviously that's a real question. That's a real issue that you have. I mean, these guys have, you know, they've been there, they've done it, they've proven it time and time again, and you know, it's my biggest, you know, focus with the team is let's just focus on today. Let's just win today. Let's get better today, and we'll worry about that when we get to the game. But obviously it's a credit to what the Patriots have done in their careers and their history, and you know, everybody's trying to win championships like that, but we just got to focus on today.
Film study this week on them. What stands out that's different about them that has allowed them to win championships?
They're a resilient group too. You know, just put on that Jacksonville game. You know, here's a team that you know, gets down in a game early, and there's no panic. You know, they just stay the course. They execute their game plan. They, you know, defense is creating turnovers. They're getting three and outs. They're getting the ball back to their offense, and that's what they're doing. It's just an efficient group, and that's why it's, you know, it's important for us to make sure that we continue to detail what we do in practice. We execute our game plan. Guys are focused that way. And you just can't get caught up in what they do. It's more about what we do in this game.
What's the most striking thing to you personally about the learning curve as a play caller going back to the time when you took over here?
Well, I think with each game, you you know, you learn from the good, you learn from the bad calls that you make, the situational aspect of the game. Am I making the right call at the right time? You know, play call at the right time. how well, you know, do I put our team in a position to be successful offensively? You learn from all of that, and you know, I critique myself each Monday and on how I did, and try to get better the next week.
From last year, after going through it last year for the first time on this level, and then.
I just think the experience of having gone through an entire season last year calling the games is probably the biggest change for me. You know, the biggest getting comfortable in that role, and then you know, how I study, how I prepare. You know, this season, learning from last year.
What do you remember about back in 2002 when you were with Green Bay going against Tom Brady and the Patriots? What do you remember about Brady back then?
2002.
Yeah.
You were, oh my gosh. Where'd we play?
A long time ago.
We played at home.
Schaefer Stadium.
We played in Milwaukee.
No, you played
I honestly do not remember.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Just about Brady back then in general.
Good question. You stumped me.
Doug, following up on Sal's question, is that a message you need to about the mystique of Brady and Belichick? Because they are kind of larger than life. Is that a message you need to get across to the team, you know, to not be in awe of the mystique of the Patriots?
You know what? If I make this all about them, we're in trouble. Honestly, we're in trouble. And it's everything is going to be written about it. Everything has been written about it, talked about it, discussed, debated, and it's about us. And I'll keep saying that. It's what we do and how well we execute, and I can't worry about that.
When you meet with Frank Reich on the nights before games, what do you hope to accomplish in those sessions? What are those like with him?
How do you know we meet the night before?
Frank.
Coach him up. No, we just kind of go back through everything one last time, and you know, for the most part, we're just kind of sitting to and telling stories, just kind of reminiscing about the season and. Maybe, you know, maybe the week we just had or something like that. But it's just a review of the plan and make sure that, you know, we're set on whatever our openers are for that particular game. Make sure we're all set and just kind of just go over everything one more time.
How much less have you slept or more have you worked in the last few days?
The same.
Really?
The same. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it is football, and it's how well, you know, I can prepare this football team, you know, in all aspects. I don't believe in just changing for the sake of change, unless it benefits the football team. And, you know, we've been pretty good up to this point, obviously, in the things that we've done and the way we go about our business and the way we practice. And so, I sleep well at night, obviously, and wake up the next day, come to work and put in a full day's work. I have a set of plans, set of boxes I need to check each day, and by the time I leave, I'm going to make sure every box is checked.
Hey, Doug, backup quarterback in your playing.
Doug, having gone through this, the player, the coaches have gone through this, the various experiences, the players have gone through this. How much does it allow those guys to tell those who have gone through this what to expect next week? Because it's a different stage of urban encounter. You've gone through it. How much will that help your players who have not gone through this?
Oh, I think it'll help. I think it'll help to have those guys, you know, maybe even stand up and talk to the team, or at least talk to, you know, one side, if it's Chris Long or LeGarrette or Malcolm or Torrey or whoever it is, just to share their experiences about next week and what it, you know, what it can entail, because it's definitely going to be a busy week and there's going to be a lot of distractions. And I think the team that can, you know, put aside the distractions and focus on the game, team that's going to probably benefit from that.
Are you going to do something on the day of the game where it's a longer day, the guys come out early, got like 3 hours until the game, or some guys have said they kind of wore out during the fourth quarter because they exhausted too much energy when they first came out?
Well, those are all things that we're kind of going through right now, you know, with the extended pregame, extended halftime, you know, those types of things. Being prepared for that, coaching our players now for that, so that they're ready to go and they understand that it is a little bit longer than a normal game, and not to be in that position, obviously not to wear themselves out or do anything extra that would hinder them from playing 60 minutes.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.